CliffCentral.com. Welcome back. It's great to be with you. And of course, the first half hour leadership master lesson was with Marnus Broederijk, CEO and founder of BeanCounter. And now we're going to continue the conversation with him. But he shared with us his thoughts on authentic leadership. So it's a fantastic podcast to download. And of course, we also share his thoughts via our subscription base, Vodacom, Cell C, and MTN. All right, go to our website, leadershipplatform.com, if you want to know anything about this. Two P's in the middle, one word. We're just going to expand a little bit with Marnus, find out more about his career, his background. It's interesting. And he's not an old guy. I mean, he's had a full life so far, and he's got a long life ahead of him. Just overview of your life and career, Marnus. Where did you grow up? And you went and studied. You're a CA, right?
I'm not.
Okay, so that's why you're doing so well. So give us your overview of your career.
So I was born and bred in the small town of Harry Smith in the Free State.
Oh, wow, okay.
Are you from the Free State?
No, but it's, yeah.
Harry Smith. So people always, when I say Harry Smith, they think it's the engine garage where you stop halfway between Durban and Joburg. But there's actually more to it. There's a school and everything. So I grew up there. After school, I couldn't go and study. My parents couldn't afford it. And then I was offered an article. I applied for a bursary. And the person reviewing the bursaries, he had a auditing firm. So he called me up and he said, don't I want to come and work with them and do articles and then study through UNISA? And I did that. I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I worked such long hours, like 14, 16 hours a day, getting paid 1,800 rand a month. Went home, studied, did that for 4 years, did my degree and honors. And then after 4 years, I was done with my articles degree. And at the age of 22, I got a rental bucky and I had a double bed and some clothes, and I came up to Joburg and I started the BeanCounter, which is an accounting firm. Back then we had the vision of transforming the industry by really giving business owners value in their business, not just the traditional accountant doing compliance work and really helping the SME owner. From there, I got involved in other businesses, IT, property, did a bit of investing myself. 2 years ago, I got back into BeanCounter and said, I want to grow this full time. And there's such an opportunity right now. I did that. And then last year, end of last year, we sold to Jay-Z Listed Transaction Capital. And Adrian, I'm now an employee with an employee contract, and I'm the CEO of the company.
Yeah. So you started BeanCounter flipping what, at 22, 23, pretty much, from nothing. And you didn't go the normal CA route, work as a chartered accountant or anything like that. You just started the business.
Yeah, so I think many people might listen to this and they're going to be surprised that I'm not a CA because everyone think I am, but I'm not. And reason for that is in my last year of articles, we did an audit for a big company and we took them to the JSE, but it was the most boring job that we could have ever done, and we gave them a bill of millions, but we didn't add a single bit of value to that business, and it just felt so wrong for me. And then I said, I want to start an accounting firm where we can really help businesses grow and we can add serious value. And when they're going to pay us, they're going to feel that they got something out of it. And for that reason, I said, I don't even want to go and write my board exam. I'm going to start this business. And I'll never regret it.
Well, a lot of people would say that, let's say, for example, I did all my MBA subjects and a lot of things happened. So I just didn't do my dissertation. I didn't finalize it. So people would say, well, gee whiz, you didn't get the three letters. You must look back with regret. And I haven't really. I'm sure there are people who would. And maybe if I followed the normal corporate career, I would feel that I did. But I have never felt that. So you haven't felt regret that you didn't just do that final hurdle?
There's two reasons why you want to do it. One is for ego, to put that MBA or CA behind your name. I've never been about ego, so it's not relevant to me. And the second thing is if you want to chase a corporate career, because they look at a CV and they look at the qualification. But if you want to be in an entrepreneurial space, I met a guy once, and in the first week of his articles, he said he went to a factory and he saw what they were doing. And then he said, geez, if these guys can do this with this factory, imagine what I can do. So he quit his articles and he built one of the biggest businesses in South Africa right now. And in the entrepreneurial space, you don't need it. And to be honest with you, up until this day, no one has ever seen my degree even. No one has ever asked me for a copy of my degree. But the experience that I got out of it is absolutely priceless.
I know that feeling. All right, just a little bit more about BeanCounter. What did it start out as? 10 years plus ago, and what is it today? So how has the journey been? Because as you say, you kind of left it a little bit, dabbling with other entrepreneurial ventures, and then you decided, no, come back, full attention. So how different is it?
So the mission has always been to create an accounting firm that can really add value to the SME.
And to the SME?
To the SME, to the small business.
Okay.
We're not into corporates. We're not into big businesses. We provide a service where the small business who can't afford a full-time accountant can utilize our service, pay a fraction of the cost what they would pay a CA or accountant, and we would deliver a better product for them and add much more value to them. And that was the dream and that was the mission. Over the last 2 years, technology really made it possible to really do that. And we're using a cloud product called Xero, which is an international product, where everyone is working in the cloud, working online. So we've got this live collaboration with clients so they can sit wherever they are and do work in the online. And we're sitting on our side. We're helping and supporting them. So we've really become a professional services company, but using technology that's sitting in the cloud.
So do you help real small SMEs with their accounting side and more?
Yes, it's exactly what I say. It's instead of you having an accountant full time in your business that you're going to pay 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 rand, you're now going to use us, and you're going to pay us 5,000 or 6,000 rand, and we're going to look after you as a small business.
Okay, very interesting. And of course, there are lots of small individual accountants doing that sort of thing. You know, they help small businesses. They're an outsource accountant or outsource HR, resource or that sort of thing.
There's a lot of people doing it out there, and that's the accounting industry. It's one or two partner businesses, each having their 20 to 50 to 100 clients. We're definitely taking the lead in terms of technology and disrupting the industry by a couple of things. One, we do fixed pricing. So lots of people listening would know that they're getting charged ridiculous amounts by their accountant because they're working per hour. They don't know how many hours it would be. We change that. We're having a fixed price. We're using great technology. And it all moved to a proactive service. I think many people out there would relate. In their own business, your accountant is someone that you see once a year. They'll tell you in August how much money you made in Feb, if you're happy. We'll tell you how much money you made last month, and that's the difference.
Okay, and so I'm guessing that this kind of business has given you a lot of insight into the SME market, into small business industry, which probably also gives you a lot of validity with regards to Shark Tank, because that's all about SMEs and almost startups in some cases. So I want to explore just now your feeling about SMEs in South Africa, our culture in the country. Are we ready for it? Are we doing enough? But before we get there, how did the Shark Tank thing happen? I mean, there was that out of the blue thing. How did that land on your lap?
Yeah, so working with SMEs, it's something I'm very passionate about, and I'm passionate about SMEs, and I'm passionate about entrepreneurship in South Africa, and I've been very vocal on it. And I've done a show on, I'm doing a show on CakeNet. I'm hosting an SME insert on a show called Vince Lane, which is on CakeNet at 10 on Tuesday nights. And then Mnet was looking for someone that really understands Mnet was looking for someone that really understands the SME market. And I was already involved with CakeNet, done a bit of TV, so they asked me to be part of Shark Tank.
And did you think about it? Was it like no-brainer?
No, it was...
But it's a global thing, eh? It's all over. It's in many countries.
Yeah, so it started as Dragon's Den in the UK, and then they took the format, adjusted it, and then launched Shark Tank in the US. I think they're in their 9th or 10th season now. They're winning Emmy Awards. It's one of the most watched Friday night shows. It's absolutely super big there, and we've had a great, great season. And I did obviously think about it, where it would fit into my current place where I am. But it's something I feel passionate about, and it was kind of a no-brainer to do it.
Mm. So how was it, the actual experience, and how did the season go, and is there going to be another season?
So another season hasn't been confirmed yet. Everyone is asking us about it because the show was a great success. Being part of it was absolutely awesome. I think we saw about 70 businesses at the end. People are saying, yeah, it's not great businesses, or There are many better businesses out there. What I'm saying to that is it's 100% reflection of the SME market in South Africa. It's 100%.
It is.
A picture of what you're seeing on the outside is what we saw on the show. And I've worked with hundreds and thousands of SMEs in my career. So to see those 70 step up and present their businesses, it was awesome to be part of them, to give that advice and to educate the viewers at home. And I think it created so much awesome change out there. People coming to me in the mall saying that because of this and that episode, I decided to quit my job, or you've now motivated me to start my own business. I've got it running in my lounge. So to be part of that change is really awesome.
Yeah, it seemed like a success, and it's an interesting panel. I think it's quite a good panel, diverse, and I enjoyed some of the episodes I saw. Yeah, I guess some would say, how authentic is it? Like all reality shows, is it? Do you really end up with real entrepreneurs? Just like we know, thousands of people are turned away from the Idol show, who can probably sing as good as the winner. So did you feel it was quite authentic? You did get real entrepreneurs. It seemed like standing in front of you and presenting their case. Some of them really messing up, thinking they have great businesses, but they don't. There seem to be a certain level of authenticity in it.
It's very interesting. We always hear that story about reality TV not being reality. So even when I signed my agreement for Shark Tank, I was like, the fine print, I was like, no, the producers can't tell me what business to buy or not to buy. It needs to be my own decision. And they said, yes, of course it's going to be your own decision. And I'll tell you, Adrian, there is not a single thing that happened on that show that wasn't real. They opened the doors, the entrepreneurs got out, it was like a boardroom. They had their brief, and we did the negotiation, and they walked out, they cut the cameras, and that was it. The producers never stepped in and said, this is what you must do. Nothing. Mm. That was a boardroom, and that door closed, and we had a business meeting.
Okay, who did you invest in? Remind us.
One is GoZone Water, which is a water purification company. The people won't know this, but we're all actually drinking still water from GoZone Water,
and it's lovely. It's great. Yeah.
So GoZone Water, absolutely two great entrepreneurs. They've built a great business, and I've helped them, and we're just expanding and growing. And I've been involved for about 5 months now, and we've already doubled revenue, and the business is going great. The other one is a craft beer. It's a complete startup. The guy's name is Jack Nell. He started in his garage brewing beer, and he wanted to take it further. So I thought, might not be my next 100 million rand business, but this is going to be fun. So I got involved with that. I pulled in one of my friends, Andre Lotter, who is currently on Sevendalon, and the three of us, we're building that business, and we're launching later in January in a couple of pubs and clubs around Joburg.
So GoZone is going well. GoZone, that's the name of the water company, and then you've got the brewery that you're going to build with your friend from Sevendalon. Okay, and then every one of the other, almost say judges, Shark Tank sharks have invested in their businesses. It would be very interesting to see somehow in the next few months how those are going. Is there some kind of reunion? Is there some kind of analysis of that or not really?
When season 2 is going to come up, there'll definitely be a follow-up of that. I'm very excited for that. I know my businesses are doing exceptionally well. GoZone is flying. Yabru, we're launching. We've got interesting discussions with a lot of corporate companies and brands out there who wants to partner with us. It's very exciting to see those brands actually supporting SMEs as well. Walking in Morningside Mall, I saw the one that Vinny got a deal with, the Saturday ice cream, Ninja Ice Cream. They were there in Morningside Mall, and these businesses are just popping up everywhere. People are sending me photos where they see them in retail stores.
Nice.
So I think it's going to be really cool to do a follow-up on that.
It will be, eh? It's like when you have a reunion. I know this Boersoekervrou thing. They have some reunion eventually, but I don't think that's too successful. It will be interesting, a reunion or a start of the second season, to see how all those businesses are doing. All right, let's go a little bit broader, if we may. Business in South Africa. First, let's look at SME culture that we have. Everyone will say every day, we're only going to save the economy or create jobs or grow if the SME market, I don't know, explodes.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that we're putting our money where our mouths are, and that our culture is allowing for that to happen. From regulatory perspective, from big corporates support towards SMEs. Your general feel about this, Marnus, as someone who literally deals with hundreds or thousands of SMEs on many fronts.
Yeah, I think the idea of entrepreneurship is alive and well in the country. Whether the execution is there, it's another story, and it's not, unfortunately. So people want to be entrepreneurs. They want to start their own businesses. I always say I think being an entrepreneur or successful entrepreneur in 2016 is like being a rock star in the, I don't know what was rock star, 70s. Yeah. Everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, but people don't know how to be an entrepreneur.
It comes down to your statement, whatever it takes.
It is whatever it takes, but people don't know what needs to be done to get there. I think a show like Shark Tank has been great to educate the people and say, this is actually what we are looking for in a business, or this is actually what's making a successful business. People need to be educated. A big misconception out there is people think, I've got an idea, and now I need to get millions of funding to execute this idea. And that's not how it works. If you've got an idea, you somehow need to monetize that and get your first customer and get your first invoice and make money from there and then grow gradually lean. But that idea of I've got an idea, now I need millions of funding, that's not flying. And I think that's a very big reason why entrepreneurship is not taking off. So many people are just waiting for that funding. And that's not going to happen. So I think if we can have the spirit that we've got or the desire that we've got in terms of entrepreneurship, and we can get the education that we desperately need for those entrepreneurs just to start, then we'll get there. And I think I was one day sitting in a pitch, and the guy was presenting his business where he was washing shoes. You would pick your shoes up and then go and wash it and then bring it back. And I was saying to the guy next to me, what a stupid little business. You're never going to scale this. He's doing 5,000 rand. He's probably going to do 10,000 rand profit. That's where he'll get. And he said, Manas, that's entrepreneurship. That guy, he works somewhere for 3,000 rand a month. And now he's doing his own little business and he's making 5,000 rand. And he's providing for his family now from his own money, and he doesn't have any security. And a light switch went on for me to say that really is entrepreneurship. And we're always looking at this multi-million dollar companies or RAND companies or JSE listed, but we forget that an entrepreneur is actually the guy who's just not working for a salary. And whether he makes 5,000 rand or 15 or 50 or 5 million rand a month, that's irrelevant. If you've got a business, you're an entrepreneur.
The honor lies in the risk you take and the fact that you're doing it yourself.
Can I just add, our government is trying a great deal, I mean, Zuma is speaking now again of all the efforts it put into entrepreneurship, etc. But what it does, it builds a mindset that you do have to have capital. Then you blame the sources of capital, the banks or the wealthy people. What Mona is saying, no, that's not entrepreneurship. That may follow later on. But every boffin we've spoken to, Mona says, no, you must monetize yourself initially, even the family around you. But if you think you need the money, then you're not going to work, because you know, it's a mindset as well. So I think it's a very important point. It's greatly lacking. The people who are pushing the politicians are not businessmen. They don't understand. They're not entrepreneurs. They start at the top, some of them, you know, where you don't have to build it. But the entrepreneur must start where he is. If he has to start his garage, do that. And then later on, the need to monetize may be a growth factor.
I mean, can you ever really understand a true little entrepreneur if you haven't been there? Can you really intensely understand it? You can't. Surely you can't. Just like you can't understand what it's like being on Shark Tank if you haven't been there. But we all seem to think we know, especially those who started big and went big. You want to comment on what Louis said?
Yeah. I think it's so true, Louis. And banks don't give money to SMEs. Why? Because when they give a lot of cash, you're going to fail and they're not going to get their return. Investors don't want to give money to SMEs. Why? Because you're going to fail. Now we're expecting it from government and they are going to give it to us and it's going to fail and 1 out of 10 will succeed. And that would be a great story, but so much money will be lost down the drain. But it's not important because it's tax money. Whilst the bank is a profitable company for profit, and me as an investor, yeah, I want to make money. So if we're going to talk about funding, we need to expect it from government. If we're not going to expect it from government, then we're looking at companies incubation companies is getting funding from corporates, but at least those incubation companies, they're also giving the education
And the support basic, and so on.
Pardon, the basic premises is wrong. We once had an interview a little while ago with a senior executive from IDC, and quite frankly, the public doesn't know it, but millions are being lost, hundreds of millions, really, because they think the answer is giving capital. It's not. That's part of the solution, one stage or other. It's a very important difference between an entrepreneur, you know, how he looks at things, and a politician or a bureaucrat.
I want to make this practical because someone is sitting there thinking about how do I do this? And the conception or the perception right now is I want to start a restaurant. So I need to go and get a big property. I need to get equipment for that property. It's going to cost me R1 million. And now I'm looking for an investor for R1 million. I've never ran a restaurant in my life, or maybe I've been a manager, but I haven't been involved with paying accounts and employing staff. I've just been a manager. Now I want that R1 million. In 2016, what we go and do, you go and cook food in your kitchen and you sell it online. Like many, many, many startups that's out there now. So you can still live your passion and do food, but you're cutting away all the equipment and capital expenditure. You're cutting away all your overheads, and that's the way you start. And then when it's going to be a success down the line, a year, you're going to say, I've got enough customers now to open up a restaurant, and it justifies it, and I've got a little bit of saving, and I've got financials, and I can go to an investor. That's how you build a business in 2016, by getting a lot of funding.
So right. I mean, I also think of the whole Airbnb concept. Biggest, I don't know, property rental company in the world with no property. So now I can say, well, I don't have a great kitchen with the greatest tools. Well, why don't you go to a friend who's got a brilliant kitchen with all the latest tools and equipment, and you say, right, become part of my little business. I'm going to cook in your kitchen. And we're going to run this business, just think differently. That's what you're saying. You've got to think, you can't think old school.
If we spend the time looking for an investor and we take that time and spend it on how do I start lean, we'll have thousands of great businesses out there.
Wow, a lot of wisdom.
The thing is, you see, when do you learn the skills of an entrepreneur? He must be a multitude of instinctive, intuitive, professional qualifications in many ways, entrepreneur. You don't do it by jumping into it, etc. It doesn't work that way. When you sketch that scenario, we've often had it on shows, people who speak of they want to be entrepreneur. But it hurts me because as a boy, they've got walls ahead of them. And if you do what you're saying, then you'll learn who you are, what you are. Are you really an entrepreneur? Are you prepared to do what it takes? So it hurts me when people think they can jump into entrepreneurship. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but what it comes down to then, Marnus, is do I really want to the status of having a restaurant? Or do I really want to be in food? It tests your real motive. Yeah. Or do I want to just be this guy walking around my Godfather restaurant? And what do I really want?
For sure.
What is it about? And therefore, are you willing to do what it takes? Coming back to one of your mottos.
For sure. And whatever it takes in entrepreneurship is so much more than whatever it takes being an employee, because people also think that I'm working too hard now, so I want to be an entrepreneur and do my own thing. Being an entrepreneur, you're going to work double the hours, and you need to be right for that, ready for that.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you your feeling on the economy, South Africa, the broader macro economy. How do you think 2017 is going to be? And what should we as small businesses, let's say, do to prepare for that? And then after that, we'll ask you to give a message to South Africa. But first, the economy, bigger picture.
So from an entrepreneur's perspective, I think switch off the news. Don't read the newspaper. Don't check what's going on in the economy. Focus on your own business and make it work in your business. We've had clients here in exactly the same industry, printing industry. Then the one would say, the printing industry is dead, it's recession, my business is going down. And funny enough, they actually closed now at the end of 2016. The other client, exactly in the same business, they say, yes, the printing business is dead, but I'm going to try something new. And they slightly changed their business model, and they're absolutely flying. So exactly the same entrepreneur, exactly the same industry, nothing different from them, exactly the same economy. One went bust, and one doubled their business. For us, accounting firm, we've been growing 100% year on year. We're interviewing people, getting retrenched, scaling down, businesses closing down. Again, exactly the same industry. The economy isn't great. 1 or 2% growth means nothing, absolutely nothing. It means that you're stealing business from someone else if you're growing at 100%. The economy is not helping you anything. But again, we can't look at that and use that as an excuse. Switch off the news, close the newspapers, and just focus on your business.
Arjun, can I just reinforce that? There's a great deal of wisdom because the average expert out there commenting on our news, a good example now is all the experts' comments on Donald Trump. And where they all these experts were saying he's going to fail. And they're laughing. It was a big joke. What's happened is proven them wrong all the time because he did this. He did what it takes. And he's very authentic, no matter what one feels about him. And boy, he's shaken the traditional tree a great deal. The same way, if you abide by the atmosphere created, and our government's doing that too. President Zuma was saying the reason we're failing is because when the world slump came, you know, that's when we went down, etc. Now, if you believe that, you will achieve that as well. So this attitude, you must cut yourself off from the so-called expert, the global ones, the big picture ones. Be careful. Entrepreneur is somebody that creates and innovates. So it's a lot of wisdom in that, Marnus.
Louis, I want to add to that. The night that Trump got, or it was the next day that Trump got elected, I was sitting next to Bob van Dijk, the CEO of Naspers, which is the biggest company in Africa. And he said he loves times like this, where the market is volatile, everyone is scared, because that's the opportunity to make the most money. And I just love that statement from the biggest company in Africa CEO saying that he loves that times, because then that's when we're going to look at opportunity, and that's what entrepreneurs need to do out there. Rand is going nowhere, so what can I do with that?
Correct. I have with me Marnus Broederick, the CEO and founder of Bean Counter, and he was one of the sharks on Shark Tank, and he's going to share a message with South Africa, just from his heart, a message to CEOs, leaders, ordinary South Africans. Marnus, go for it.
I think people are always, they're looking on the outside and they're seeing what's wrong, and we never look on the inside. And we're just sitting in our own country and we're judging whatever goes on here. But the moment you step out of this country and you don't go for a vacation, you actually go to another country, you just realize the problems are there. It's just different to what it is here. And the only thing we can do about that, we can't do anything personally to government, to economy, to corporates, to businesses, to employment. But what we can do is we can do something about ourselves, and we can step up as personal leaders in our homes, in our personal life, in our companies, and we can create small differences. And all those small differences will add up and make one massive difference. That's my message.
Thank you so much, Marnus Broederick. Fantastic message, and it's been just such a pleasure chatting with you. A thought to end off with, Sibanye executive thought. An arrogant leader has a short-term memory. He or she quickly forgets who assisted him or her towards success. For them, it's about me. I did it. Be very careful. Have a great week, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this Leadership Masterclass. It's been wonderful being with you, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Up next, the Business Masterclass. Stay tuned. CliffCentral.com.